Well, I get a share this morning. I'm excited just with what the Spirit of the Lord has been saying to us, and I just even worship confirmed some things, and it's just, I think God has us in a great season, and we've been talking about relationships over the last, it's probably since about Mother's Day, and we'll continue this theme for a little bit, but we've been talking about it's personal, connecting with God and engaging in others, and we're called to have a relationship with a personal God. Amen. And I think any time this morning, you know, we had an incredible breakthrough in worship. We had an incredible breakthrough in the Spirit. I believe, as Steve shared, as Ernest prayed, as Pastor Ryan shared, that God wants to do something in our midst. And I believe that He's even done things in our midst already. And sometimes what can take us in the natural years and years and years, the Spirit and the presence of God can accomplish more in a moment. Amen? And those are the moments that I want to raise my kids in. Those are the things that I want us to experience as a body where, you know, we could go to years and years of, you know, classes and different things, and those are all good things, but when the Spirit of God does the surgery or does the work in our hearts, that's when true change can happen. And as we were singing this morning, you know, we talked about breakthrough. And I believe that God wants to do a breakthrough here, right? From my relationship to God. Anyone else want that in your own life? Right? Where God wants to bring breakthrough here, but He wants to bring breakthrough here so that He can bring breakthrough here. Like me to you, or you to your neighbor, or your friends, or your teammates, whatever it is. So this breakthrough, yes, it's going to change you, but it's not meant to stop there. And that's what we've been talking about. And we've learned through maybe trial and error, through experience, that when we really walk with others here, it's a lot easier said than done. Because it's personal. Because you're required to open up your life. You're required to get honest. You're required to get vulnerable. And that's a little humbling sometimes, isn't it? To really open up your life and really open up your heart. But I believe that that is what God is calling us to do. And so I believe as we step out in those things, He's going to give us the grace and the ability to do it. Amen? So today we're going to be talking about it's personal, sharing your story. We talked a little bit last week about the power of a story. I didn't really share very much, but we had a testimony go out, and man, I was impacted by her story as she shared. But I made a comment, and I said a lot of Christians find themselves not growing anymore. You know, Pastor Ryan, I believe, talked about sometimes you get stagnant, and that's not the type of relationship that God has called us to walk in. He's called it to be growing. He's called it to be alive. But I think, and I talked to and I've experienced where many Christians sometimes just feel stagnant. Well, I'm not growing anymore, and whenever you stop growing, I think you always evaluate, well, why am I not growing, right? And the first thing you do is you be like, well, am I praying enough? Check. Am I reading my Bible enough? Check. You know, am I doing all these things to feed myself? And a lot of times I find myself that I'm doing those things, but I believe it's in a lot of times for us, we stop growing because we stop releasing the things that are inside of our hearts and the things that God is doing to those that are around us. And so we become like a lake where it's like, yeah, it's full, there's water coming in, but without that release, there's over time, you're going to lose some of that freshness. You're going to lose some of that flow that we were meant to walk in. And so, you know, I talk to people and they're like, man, you know, Justin, I'm just struggling. And then I start talking to them and they're not doing anything outside of themselves. They're not giving themselves away. They're not serving. They're not encouraging others. They're not praying for one another. And again, I think a lot of times you begin to release what God has done in you and you begin to grow and God's going to begin to fill those areas that you released in. You know, we talked about Revelation 12 last week out of chapter 12, verse 11. And I'm going to read it. It says, as they have conquered him, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So we talked about the power of a testimony. And I think a lot of times in our minds when we hear testimony, we think of Megan just did it. She gave a testimony. And she did give a testimony. But our testimony is the way that we live our lives. Our testimony is how open we are with those that are around us. And so it says that you're going to overcome by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So three things here in this scripture. We need to know where our freedom comes from. Okay? There is nothing but the blood of Jesus that sets me free. I don't owe anything to Dr. Phil. I don't owe anything that has really brought life change to anyone but Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. So we've got to know where our freedom is from. Okay, that's it. The second thing is we've got to release our story. Okay, because again, Jesus can do things in my life all day and night long. But if I am not releasing those things, then again, like Pastor Ryan said, that's great, but there's more. It's great that I got my ticket out of hell, but there is more that he wants to do in and through me. So I think about when I share my story, a number of things happen. I'm going to grow, but also that same faith, that same hope, that was alive in me is going to have an opportunity to impact those who I share with. The third thing here, really quick, that I believe this scripture talks about is it talks about we have to open up our lives. It says, for they love not their lives even unto death. Have you heard the saying that says more is caught than taught? Have you heard that? They're more caught than taught. Because I've been in a lot of classes in my life. And unfortunately, I don't remember everything that I was taught. Right? Because I didn't get it. I got about 10%. But I believe as we are sharing our lives with one another, as we are releasing what the Holy Spirit has done in us, and as we just release those things, people are going to catch on to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Okay, we talked last week. I read out of 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter or 1 through 8, and I'm just going to read 8 this morning. But it says this. It says, so being affectionately desirous of you. This is Apostle Paul speaking, and he's talking to the lost. He's talking to the Gentiles. So he says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own selves. Because you had become very dear to us. Okay, incredible scripture. 1 John chapter 1 says it this way. He says, and now we testify and announce to you that he, which is Jesus, is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was shown to us. Catch this. It says, we are telling you about what we ourselves have actually seen and heard. So that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. I want to say this morning that sharing the gospel is very easy. Very easy. You can Google 10 best ways to share the gospel. Done. Done. Google it. Read a book. There's been so many books that how do I share the gospel? How do I do it? It's easy to share the gospel. You know that scripture, or not the scripture, it's the saying, I don't even know who said it, but if you've been in church like once in your life, you've heard it. It says, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. Anyone heard that one? Let me tell you, there's a lot of times it would be a lot easier to use words. Right? Because, you know, if I just read the top 10 ways to evangelize, I'm sharing the gospel. A lot easier to use words a lot of times. Come on, we see it all the time. Gaining knowledge. You know, we saw guys and the corner of Maple Valley. And in their minds, they were preaching the gospel by telling everyone, you're going to hell. Come on, we see it. But I think what the Lord is calling us to as his bride, as his mature believers, is to do it by opening up our lives. As opening up our lives to our neighbors, to our friends. So preach the gospel if you have to use words. Well, you know what? Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with just using words, because sometimes that's a cop-out. Because I know that the Lord has called me to open up my life, and sometimes that's humbling. I don't want to share the story of what Christ did in me, because that might cause me to get vulnerable. Come on, think about it. It's more than just reading a top 10 list of what the gospel is. It's a whole nother aspect to open up your life. To say, hey, this is what he did in me. You know, I was thinking this week, the power of a story. And many of you have heard my story. Many of you haven't. But I was thinking about it. And a lot of times we get familiar with our story. I was sitting at a lacrosse practice a few months ago, and it was like nasty out. We were sitting undercover, and I was talking to this lacrosse mom. I think I don't even remember her name. She went to high school with me, but I didn't know her, and we hadn't seen each other in like 10 years. And we were just catching up on life, and you know, she was just asking me, and somehow we got to our kids and started talking about our kids. And then we were talking about lacrosse. It's a contact sport. And we were talking about not being worried about your kid getting hurt. Somehow this conversation led to the story of our now 5-year-old Jude, who almost died of a drug overdose when he was under 2. And I'm telling the story just like I'm telling the story of the weather or the Mariners game. And all of a sudden, this lady is like, it's like awkward, because she is bawling and she is crying. And guys, anytime like when people start crying on me, it's very uncomfortable, especially when it's not my wife. And I'm like, I can cover my wife, but I'm like, what do I do? You know, I'm like, do I pat her on the shoulder? Do I wipe her tears? Like, awkward, you know. But it made me think that there, the familiarity that we have with our story and the stories of what God has done in the past, those have power to change lives today. And I think we've got to remember that there is power in those stories, right? And I believe that part of our healing process, part of our growth process, is going to be sharing those stories so it can be released to others. Okay, the problem about our story is I think a lot of times we're ashamed of our own story. Okay, think about it. Maybe not my story with my son, but when you start talking about your past, when you start talking about where you used to be before you met Jesus, I think a lot of times we get ashamed of those things. Because I don't think it's because, well, we didn't know better. I don't think that's why we're ashamed of our past or our story. But I think a lot of times we're uncomfortable with the expectations that people might put on us in our progress of living that story out. Because if I say, hey, I once was lost and now I'm found now, and I used to do this and now I don't, people are going to look at me and maybe I'm going to think they're expecting me to be perfect or expecting me to be polished, when the truth of the matter is I'm in process. And so I think a lot of times we hold back from people because we think, well, if they know this about me, then they're going to expect me to be something that I'm not yet. And I believe that even in that, the Lord wants us to teach us to open up, to push back those barriers, and truly trust him with all aspects of our story. I want to read Galatians 6, probably a decent amount of scripture, because I believe as Paul is talking to the Galatian church, I believe there's some parallels that really talk about our story this morning. And so would you turn with me in your Bible to Galatians 6? But it says this, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each of you will bear your own load. Let each one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. That's pretty powerful, pretty heavy batch of scripture there. But I want to bring it back to our story this morning. Because I believe that one of the greatest tools we have as Christians is the thing that God did inside of us. But I also believe that there is hindrances to sharing that story. And I believe that if we're saying, hey, we want to be a church that has an open life to others, that shares our story, that knows the power of our testimony, I believe that there's going to be things that want to hinder us from sharing that story. The first thing I believe, four things that hinder your story or hinder you from opening your life. Number one is sin. Okay, sin will ruin your testimony. Yeah, yes, the Lord can turn it around and there's another's testimony. But anytime there's sin present, sin wants to hinder your testimony. Sin wants to keep you isolated. Okay, that's one of the number one characteristics of sin is separation. Separation from God, but also isolation from others. Okay, my mom used to say all the time, I know when you're not living right because you don't look me in the eye or you won't come up and talk to me, right? I know that. And I think we do the same thing. Anytime there is sin in our life, the sin wants to keep us in shame. The sin wants to keep us in isolation because I'm like, well, you know, if I'm meeting with some guys and we're holding each other accountable and I'm not having a good week and I'm struggling, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to look at the guys that I'm walking with. If I'm, you know, struggling with my wife and, you know, I'm going to avoid her a little bit because that's what sin does. It wants to keep you alone. It wants to keep you isolated. The first thing is sin. Okay, sin wants to steal your testimony. Sin wants to keep you in isolation. The second thing that we see out of verse 3 is pride. Okay, I've said it all the time, and you can read it in the Psalms, but not forgetting what God has done for you. How many of you know it's very easy to not forget what God has done for you when you're really desperate? Right? When I'm desperate, I'm like, oh, God. But when things start to settle down a little bit, it's very easy for me to forget what God's done. Okay, I had an acquaintance that I knew, and he wasn't living his life right, and he had an opportunity to enter a contest. And the winner of the contest got over $500,000. And so, like any good Christian, what was his prayer? God, if I win this contest, right? Come on. PT, you know, right? If I win this contest, God, I'll not only turn my life around, but I will tithe not 10%, but God, I'll even start an orphanage with that money. And guess what happened? He won the contest.
I didn't see no tithe check. Right?
I didn't see, again, I think in times, those promises we make to the Lord, I believe are genuine, are honest. But a lot of times when we step back, we forget that God was the one that did the miracle. And we think that we had something to do with it. Okay, and every time that pride wants to come in and it wants to rip us off. It wants to keep us reliant on our own abilities and our own self. I think we forget, oh yeah, God was the one that bailed me out here. Lord, help us. Because I believe pride, the pride of life, will keep you or keep others from wanting to have anything to do with you. The third thing I see in this scripture is comparison. Man. I used to think, and I think in the church we used to think, well, you know, guys struggle with pride and girls struggle with comparison. Man, we all struggle with comparison. Come on, think about it for a minute. Even with your story, even with your testimony, even with the process of how God saved you, we're always comparing it to others. Okay, come on, in the church, right? I remember talking to different pastors about Easter. Easter is like the Super Bowl of church. And a pastor was like, man, I've got this guy that used to be a gang member. And he killed people. And he robbed 10 banks. And he's sharing his testimony. And I'm like, we got a cute kids dance. That's cool. Man, I don't have a gang member that killed people. But one time I lied to my dad. I'm bad, right? I'm bad. Right? But we compare ourselves to one another. We compare our story. We compare our testimony. Well, I don't have a testimony. How many of you have heard that? Well, I don't have a testimony. I was just raised in the church. I didn't do any drugs. Right? But we try to spice it up. We look at it and we say, well, God, I don't have that story. And this person has that story. And then again, in doing that, I think we begin to nullify the things that God has done in our hearts. But when we start to compare, when we start to covet, when we start to go, man, I don't have that. I think we can even look at how God is using other people and we could very easily say, well, God, you're not using me that way. Well, you know what? God doesn't want to use you that way, maybe. God wants to use you in a way that is going to work with your story and your anointing and your giftings. And I think a lot of times when we get stuck in comparison, we end up missing the things that God has for us because we're too busy looking at what we don't have from the Lord. So comparison will hinder your story. And I think the last thing is selfishness. You know, if we were to take a poll this morning, I guarantee I'd get 100% of hands raised. Not one person in here would say no to the Lord about sharing your story if you knew they would get saved. If I said, Pastor Ryan, this person's going to get saved in 10 minutes if you share your story, Pastor Ryan's going to be like, all right, I'm going to start sharing my story. But I think the selfishness comes in where it says, will you open up your life? Would you open up your home? Would you open up your heart so that you have the opportunity to share your story so that then in doing so, someone's going to get saved. Someone's going to turn their life around. But it's this selfishness, right? Where selfishness that says, and again, we all have good reasons to be selfish, right? I'm busy. I got 4 kids. We do sports. I got 5 acres I've got to maintain. Well, kind of maintain sometimes. Right? I've got lots of reasons of why I shouldn't open up my life. But the Lord wants to take it one step further. Okay, so I gave you 4 things this morning that will hinder your story. Okay, I want to talk about things that I believe the Lord wants to grow in us now. So let's go back to verse 9. And it says this, it continues, and it says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those that are in the household of faith. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh on the outside who would force you to be circumcised. And they're talking about an outward expression, something that people can see that can say what's going on the inside. Okay? Will force you to be circumcised and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross. For even those who are circumcised on the outside do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Again, they're talking about outward expressions, things you can see. But far be it from me to boast in anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Verse 15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. What he's saying is, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. But what matters is a new creation. And as for all of you who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen. So four strategies this morning to open up your life. Four strategies this morning to share your story of what God's done. Number one, to do good. Okay, verse 10. It's that simple. You want to have a power, you want your testimony to have effect, then do good. Well, Pastor Justin, what's doing good? Is it opening up my home? Yes. Is it helping someone move? Yes. Is it praying for someone? Yes. Is it encouraging them? Yes. Is it cooking them dinner? I might have said that again already. Yes. Is it offering to babysit? Yes. Is it saying, you look discouraged today? Is there anything I can do? Yes. Doing good will open the door for the Holy Spirit to move in their life. It's that simple, but it's not. Do good. Again, it's in verse 10, whenever you have the opportunity, do good. Is it being hospitable? Yes. Again, I don't think doing good is always the easiest thing to do. Because of the things we talked about earlier, the selfishness, the pride, the sin, right? Those are the things that keep us from doing good. And again, I think we can look at the scripture and we could say that God has called us as Christians to do good to one another, but also to do good to those that don't know Jesus. But I think we need to be careful because there's a lot of people out there doing good, right? A lot of humanitarianism people and people that are, you know, just all about, saving the planet, they're doing good in their own mind. And again, we've got to really avoid that we are making sure to do good in the name of Jesus. Doing good because, not just doing good because we should do good, because that doesn't set us apart from anyone else that's doing good. What sets us doing good apart from the world is the fact that we're doing it in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't stuck and just, oh, but we're doing good. I picked up trash on the way to church. That's great. So did the guy that didn't believe in God. So do good, but do good in the name of Jesus. I'm serving you because the Bible says the greatest in the kingdom is to be your servant. I'm being hospitable because I'm believing as I'm doing that I'm going to have an opportunity to share the love of Christ with you. Amen? So that's the difference, okay? Let's keep going. Number two, I think in order for us to take it to the next level of just doing good is we've got to, and I say it, said it before, we've got to know our why. Okay, again, the why is what sets us apart. Why do you do what you do? Galatians 6:14, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. Because of that cross, my interest in the things of the world died a long time ago, and the world's interest in me also is dead. My why is the cross. Again, as Christians, we love to share our horror stories. We love to share, I was a drug dealer, I was a gang member, I did this, I did that, I did this, I was so bad. And again, I think there's a line where we start just feeding our flesh. And we start comparing those testimonies. And we almost start bragging about how bad we were. But that's not the point, right? The point is the cross. The point is I was lost. And I'm not anymore. Yeah, I might have lied to my dad or I might have, you know, done worse. But the point is the cross. And I think any time that we get misfocused in our testimony and our why starts to become how bad we are, how lost we were, how messed up we were, any of those things, how off we were, how deceived we were, anytime those things become the focus, We're gonna miss it. So know your why when you're sharing your story, when you're opening up your life. But the grace of God. I would have been lost but this. Not because, well, I, you know, had some good friends that helped me out. No. But the power of Jesus. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, and I used to be a youth pastor a long time ago. I think Pastor Ryan's a pretty cool youth pastor. But it was always funny, because I'm a little older now, but when I was a youth pastor, I was pretty young, but it was always interesting seeing other youth pastors, because you always had that one youth pastor that was probably, you know, 36 years old, and he was trying to do anything he could just to be relevant with the teens, right? So you'd have a youth pastor, and he'd, like, bleach, dye his hair blonde, and, like, you know, do the long hair thing because that's what all the kids were doing, right? Or he'd wear clothes. And it's like, dude, to connect to the kids, you don't need to dress like them, right? And I think a lot of times when we start to talk about opening up our lives as Christians, we say, hey, well, maybe if I'm just more relevant with them, meaning I start talking about things of the flesh, we'll connect, right? Think about it for a minute. I'll lower my standards, what I believe, just so I can connect. And I don't think that's a healthy way of doing it. Because here's what I believe we can connect on. We don't need to connect or relate on a fleshly level, but we can connect on the idea that we all are created with a need for a Savior. And we all have a desire to connect with Abba Father. Right? So I don't need to relate to other people by lowering myself. I just need to relate to them by saying, hey, we both have the same need here. We both need Jesus. We both need a Savior. Okay, the third thing, and wrapping up, that if we're going to be effective in sharing our story and opening up our lives, is we've got to remember that we're not the same anymore. I'm not the same as I used to be. What counts out of verse 15 and 16 is whether we really have been changed into new and different people. May God's mercy and peace be upon all those who live by this principle. What principle? You know, that I'm circumcised or not circumcised? No. Live by the principle that I've been changed by Jesus. Corinthians 5:17 says, those who become Christians become new people. They are not the same anymore. Come on, family. We're not the same anymore. We don't struggle with the same issues that we've struggled with for years and years. Okay, and I believe this is why Apostle Paul in the scripture goes on in verse 17, and he says, from now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. What he's saying, hey, I'm not the same guy that persecuted Christians anymore. I'm not the same guy that would just heckle Jesus and his disciples. That's not me anymore. So anytime someone comes and says, hey, you're that guy that used to throw stones at Jesus, he says, but that's not who I am anymore because I've grown. Right? Pastor Tom, one of my favorite quotes he used to say is, reminding the devil, that is who I used to be. I'm not that person any longer. And Paul's saying, hey, I'm not going to entangle myself with who I used to be Because the devil wants to remind us, oh, you used to do this. You used to sin. Well, you're right, devil, I did used to do that. But that's not who I am any longer. So don't trouble me, is what Paul said. And then he says this, and I love this. He says, we must be willing to wear the scars. Okay, physically and spiritually, okay? Scars. I think scars are pretty cool. I have a scar on the back of my head that I am proud of. It's about this long. And I'm proud of the scar. I think, well, number one, because I'm a guy and you know, scars are cool. My kids think scars are cool. But my scar on my head doesn't remind me of the time that I was playing football and I was thrown into a railroad tie that was outlined in the garden. And I was in a lot of pain and I was bleeding all over the doctor's office and my parents were out of town and we, right? That's not what this scar reminds me of. This scar that's on my head reminds me that I'm not bleeding anymore. Right? It reminds me that there was a wound, that there was damage, and it's healed. Okay, and that scar is a representation that it's healed. Okay, spiritually speaking, we have scars. We have things that damaged us. We have hard, hard, traumatic things that shouldn't have been done to you in your life. Iniquity, transgression, you have bad stuff. And now your life is scarred. And I want to encourage us this morning to not let that scar remind you of the pain. But let that scar remind you of the healer of Jesus. Let that scar be part of your testimony that says, this is how I know I'm healed. In that scripture, it says, for I bear on my body the scars, or some translations say mark. And this is really cool. I was driving on my way this morning, and the Lord was like, that. He said, look up the word mark. Look up the word scar. And it talks about, and it's fitting, Megan, as you talked about slaughtering. But it talks about a cattle rancher. And to identify his cattle, he would scar them. He would take his little metal branding that said, whatever, Justin, or and he would mark his cattle. And so that hurt. Ow. Cow says ow. But the scar is a sign of ownership. It's a sign of ownership. And I believe that as we open up our lives, that the Lord wants to say, yeah, see that scar that's on from you? See that scar because of your dad left you when you were 2 years old? And you're scarred, I want to take ownership of that scar. I want to put my stamp on that part of your life. That wounding when you were abused, when you were disappointed, and it's marked you, and it's changed who you are today, that's Jesus saying, I want to put my approval on that. I want to own that part of your life because I want to use it as part of your testimony. You know, this morning, God, can I just say that God wants to use our whole story? I think we have aspects of our story that will say, okay, God, you can use that aspect, but I believe the Lord wants to say, I want to use the very deepest parts of your story for my glory. The parts that we're even ashamed of today, he wants to use those parts. Even the pain of our own circumstance, right? I think the Lord really wants to use those things in this next season in your life to bring healing to yourself, but also to bring healing to others. You know, I look at my life and I say, well, God can use that aspect, but he can't use this aspect. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. God can use any aspect he wants, because in a moment he can change everything, right, as we talked about earlier. your story of redemption, your past, the things you're ashamed of. You know, how about the things that nearly wrecked you? The divorce, the abuse, almost losing a kid. Right, miscarriage. We got really serious real fast. But those are the parts that the Lord wants to use. Again, it's personal. It's easier to Google.
How do you be a Christian? Yeah.
But the Lord is calling us to open up our lives. The Lord is calling us to share that story. And here's the beauty about this stuff is I can share it. I can talk about the Lord wants to, you know, brand us, put a stamp on us. But the truth of the matter is the Lord's not going to force himself on anyone. And the Lord is going to walk very patiently with us as he wants us to share our story and open up our lives to others. And I just trust that as we just say, Holy Spirit, you do it. He's going to do it in his timing. Would you stand up with me this morning? Because here's the encouraging part today. Is that the Lord wants to use your story to bring hope. The Lord wants to use your story to bring healing. The Lord wants to use what you experience as you came to the cross to bring salvation to your friends and to your family. Can you receive that this morning? So God, let's pray with me. Father, I thank you this morning that you've called us to get personal with you. But Father, that you've called us to get personal with one another. Father, that you have called us to open our lives and to live our lives vulnerable, honest, transparent, and open with others. Father, just as you've called us to be that way with you. And so, Father, I thank you this morning for the stories that are in this room. I thank you this morning for the testimonies of I was lost, but now I'm found. Father, I thank you for those stories. Father, I even know this morning that there's scars, spiritually speaking, in our hearts. Father, and right now in some people, those scars still remind us of the pain that we went through. But Father, I pray even today by your Spirit, Father, that you would put your mark of ownership on those scars. Father, that you would say, I want to own this part of your life because I died for it. Father, I pray for those that maybe are hurting and even things that are in our past that still cause us the pain. Father, I ask that you would be the healer in those situations. Father, I ask that by your Spirit, you would do the surgery that you need to do in our hearts. Father, I pray that we as a people, we as a church, Father, with the scars and our story, Father, that they would be a reminder that we're not sick anymore, that we're not wounded anymore. But it's a sign that we've been healed. Father, I just ask for opportunity even this week. Father, it's so intimidating to talk about sharing your story and opening up your life. Father, I just ask that you would give opportunity to us this morning, that you would give opportunity to us this week to truly walk some of these things out. Father, I thank you for the testimonies that are in this room. Father, I thank you for the stories that are in this room. Father, let us release those things to others as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I tell you, I'm excited to see what God wants to do through us opening up our story in our lives. You are released. God bless you. See you next time.